Save the whole human race. Through the years it seems impossible, I know. But the grace of God from Calvary still flows. Sacrifice hanging there upon the tree, Jesus died. Shed his blood for you and me. Though millions come to the cross to be set free, still there remains one drop of blood for me. The path to the cross is a well-trodden way, and I wondered if time wash the blood all away. But this fountain of grace, it still flows free. Surely there remains one drop of blood for me. Sacrifice hanging there upon the tree, Jesus died. Shed his blood for you and me. Though millions come to the cross to be set free, still there remains one drop of blood for me. Still there remains one drop of blood for me.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 29. We're looking tonight at the life of Leah. Life is unfair, but God is not. And as we look at this chapter, the first 14 or 15 verses, I'll read those and make a few comments, and we'll get our outline primarily from the last half of the chapter there. So let's open with prayer, and we'll look at this life of Leah. Our Father, we thank you for the scriptures and the opportunity we have to study the life of Leah and Jacob and Rachel and those around her. We pray that you would help us to glean from this story things that we can apply to our lives even today. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we think about the story, we've been going through the book of Genesis, and we have looked at the God of Israel, Jehovah God, and we've seen that he's the God of Abraham. And remember that Abraham and Sarah, and we've read about them and how God had used them and gave them a child in their old age. Sarah, of course, had been barren, and then God had Isaac come along through a miraculous birth, and Abraham sent his servant to his family's home there in Padan Aram and got Rebekah, and the servant brought her back, and she married Isaac. And then we saw that Isaac had Jacob and Esau, and last week we were looking at the battle there between Jacob and Esau, and Jacob marries two wives, Rachel and Leah, is what we'll see this evening there. And so let's begin reading with verse 1 of Genesis chapter 29 as we look at a little introduction to the story here. Remember, last week we looked at Jacob right at the end of chapter 28. He had a dream and he named the place Bethel, house of God. So this is right after his dream as he goes there back to Laban's house, brother of Abraham. It says, verse 1, then Jacob went on his journey, that is after his dream. He came to the land of the people of the east, and he looked, and behold, a well in the field, and lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of the well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was rolled upon the well's mouth. And thither were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and watered the sheep, and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in his place. You'll remember when we were studying the life of Isaac that the Philistines had come along and they had taken dirt and they had filled up the wells, and they had to redig those wells. So now they have these stones that they're placing over them. In verse 4, it says, Jacob said to them, my brethren, whence be ye? And they said, of Haran are we. And he responded like we often do today. You know, you meet somebody from, you know, New York City, and you say, oh, I have a friend in New York City. Do you happen to know so-and-so? Well, that's what he said here. Jacob said to him after they said of Haran in verse 5, he said, do you know Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, we know him. And he said to them, is he well? And they said, he is well. And behold, Rachel, his daughter, is coming with the sheep. And so they're standing talking, and here comes Rachel, that obviously Jacob eventually marries. And he said in verse 7, lo, it is high day, neither is it time for the cattle that they should be gathered together. Water the sheep and go and feed them. And they said, we cannot until all the flocks be gathered together and till they roll the stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep. And while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock. I don't know, maybe he was trying to impress her. You know, he goes and rolls the stone away. He sees her, and later it says, you know, that she's beautiful and well-favored, and Jacob has already begun to fall in love with her. And verse 11, I guess this is our Valentine story for the week here. And verse 11 says, and Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. Remember, Rebekah had lived there with him, and she had gone back with the servant, and now they're meeting someone from the family, as they did in those days there. And it came to pass in verse 13, when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, he ran to meet him and embraced him, and he kissed him and brought him to his house, and he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, surely thou art bone and my flesh. And he abode with him the space of a month. And so he stayed there a month, and now Jacob's getting to know Laban, and month goes by, and he continues obviously to eye Rachel there. And in verse 15, Laban comes to him and he says, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? He wasn't the literal brother, you understand that, nephew here. So he comes and he says, you're kin, and you're working for me, and name your wages, and I will pay you whatever you want. Just like your employer tells you, you know, they comes in and they said, how much do you want? Now, this just doesn't happen, does it, you know? And so he's given this opportunity to name his wages, and in verse 16, Laban had two daughters, The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel. And he said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it's better that I give her to thee than I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. And they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had for her. I mean, it just seemed like it passed so fast. He loved her so much. And the question comes into my mind, you know, he loved her that much and he really wanted to marry her. Why did he offer 7 years? I mean, I might have said 1 year. I might have said a week. You know, I start negotiating or something. But he said 7 years, and Laban said, okay, you work for me for 7 years there. And in verse 21, Jacob said to Laban, give me thy wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go into her. So the 7 years is now over, and we come to look at this story of Leah. Life is unfair. We will look at the misery of Leah, and then the marriage of Leah, and then the message of Leah that has for us as well. So look at her misery. First of all, her father. Her father, Laban, if you'll look at verse 19, it says there, Laban said, it's better that I give her thee, that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And so we know the rest of the story. And we know that he doesn't have intentions of giving Rachel there because of the custom of the land. But if you'll go over to chapter 31, and we'll be getting there either next Sunday or the Sunday after that, he was a deceitful man, and he had idols. In chapter 31, verses 30 and 31, it says, and now though thou wouldest needs be gone, because thou sore longest after thy father's house, this is Laban talking to Jacob, he says, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my gods? And so Jacob has left in chapter 31, and Laban goes after him, and his gods are gone, his idols. And so here's a man who is worshiping idols, and this is the kind of father that Leah had. Well, not only did we see her misery in her father, who was deceitful and idolatrous, but also she had a favored sister. It tells us in verse 17 that Rachel was beautiful and she was well favored there. But we also know that Rachel was a thief. She's the one that stole those idols. We'll see that when we get a little bit ahead. You probably remember that. And they had favoritism back in those days. We remember reading that Isaac favored Esau, but Rebekah favored Jacob. But here when it says that she was well favored there, it's not talking about showing favoritism in that sense of the word. It means that she was beautiful. Remember, Sarah was beautiful. Because Abraham, he lied about his wife because she was so beautiful, that thought that the men were going to take, Abimelech was going to take her. And then we see his son Isaac does the same thing with Rebekah because she was so beautiful as well. And Isaac lied about her being his sister instead of his wife. And now we see Rebekah Rachel also is a beautiful woman there. But Leah, look at her frailty. It says that she was tender-eyed there. Her looks there were not like Rachel. And sometimes, even in today's society, people have a tendency to mistreat people based on the way they look. They may make fun of the way they look. This may have been happening to Leah as well. They might misjudge somebody's abilities just because of the way they look. And so here she is, tender-eyed, as the scripture calls her here. But if you go down to verse 35, and we'll get there in more detail later, we see her faith, where she says, I will praise the Lord. And so here she is with a father who was idolatrous, a sister who was favored above her, and a sister who was beautiful, and she wasn't, and she's dealing with that, and yet she still praises the Lord, even though she has a lot of misery. She has a lot of problems. She still is praising the Lord. You've heard it said probably before, when God closes a door, you praise him in the hallway. And so that's what Leah is doing. You know, there's always a reason to praise the Lord. And though Leah is not the favored wife of Jacob, we're going to see that she was a godly woman who loved the Lord and was honored by the Lord. And so now we see the marriage of Leah beginning in verse 21. Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, 7 years. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place, and he made a feast. It came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid, for a handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah." And so we see the marriage and we see the hypocrisy of Laban. Here is Leah. And in Laban's eyes, this was his least valuable asset. She was tender-eyed. And their custom was that the oldest is not going to get married the younger is not going to get married before the older. And so he's making a plot to get rid of his least valuable asset here. And he is so hypocritical, and he's just lying to Jacob this whole time. He's an idolatrous man. And now we see Jacob becomes a little bit hostile there. He has been deceived in verse 25. The next morning, he looks, and it was Leah. Now, obviously, with the veil over his face, and in our customs, it's kind of hard to imagine, well, what about her voice? It's been 7 years, but he didn't know. Whatever the circumstances, he didn't know it was Leah till the next morning. And he goes to Laban, and he says in verse 25, "What is this thou hast done to me? Did I not serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me?" And so here, he's been deceived. Remember when we studied a little bit about Jacob earlier? His name, as I mentioned again this morning, means supplanter, deceiver. And he was a deceiver. He deceived his father Isaac. Remember whenever he took the goat skins with the help of his mother and put it around his neck and on his arms, and he went in and he told his father, "I'm Esau." And he tricked his father and got the birthright. And so now, what goes around comes around. You've heard that saying. And so whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. The laws of nature and the spiritual laws, they work the same. And he has deceived and been deceitful, and now it's coming back to haunt him. And when I read that phrase there, "Behold, it was Leah," it reminds me, and I'll give you an illustration, and if you've never watched the Andy Griffith Show, you may not understand my illustration here, but I've seen them all many, many times there. There was a time when Ernest T. Bass was not going to accept the marriage of, what was her name, Charlene Darling there, to Dudley, I think his name was, and so he wasn't going to accept that because he wanted to court her. And so in order to make the wedding genuine and real to Ernest T. Bass, they had to stage another wedding and bring the preacher out and all of that. And in order to do that, they had to deceive him and have Barney dress up as the bride. Maybe you remember that story. And here's Barney there as the bride, and he has on the gown, the bridal gown. And Ernest T. Bass comes along when they're having this wedding ceremony, and he grabs Barney by the hand, thinking it's the bride, and he runs off. And while they're away, they're bringing out Charlene, and they're having the real marriage there. And then Ernest T.'s talking to Barney about how much he loves her and all of that. And then they lift the veil, and behold, it was Barney. And the look on Ernest T.'s face, it must have been something like the look on Jacob's face there. And so now he's just been deceived there. And God, in his own time, will right things. And so he's been deceiving, and now it's coming back, and he's married to Leah. And so in verse 26, after Jacob goes to him, he says, "What have you done to me? I've worked 7 years for you." And Laban said, "It must not be done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn." You know what he's doing? He's justifying his deceit. And so, which often people do when they lie and deceive, they try to justify it. And so he says, verse 27, "Fulfill her week. We will give thee this also for the service which thou hast served me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so. I mean, he really loved Rachel. Now he's going to serve 14 years so that he can marry Rachel there. And Leah is hurt. Again, if you go back to verse 18, as we read earlier, it says, "Jacob loved Rachel, and he served 7 years for her." Now, the burden of feeling unloved, even if you are unloved, or even if you just feel unloved, it's a heavy burden. And here's Leah feeling like, nobody loves me. My father is idolatrous, and he has deceived Jacob, and he's just trying to get rid of me, and she's just feeling about as low as she can be, unappreciated and unwanted, and she's just merely tolerated by Jacob. He doesn't love her. You know, she has obviously watched Jacob and Rachel and their togetherness there over the years. But God steps into the picture. And look at verse 31 of chapter 29, when God steps into the picture. "When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. She said, 'Surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me.'" There. And here's Leah. She was not barren. The other three, Sarah and Rebecca and Rachel, they were all barren. They were all beautiful, but they couldn't give birth. But here was Leah, and it says here that God opened her womb. God is the one who gives life. Life comes from God. It is a gift of God there. And here is Leah dealing with the hurt. Well, we have the message that Leah has for us. She submitted to her father. She was humble and very submissive. Going back to verse 23, it tells us here that it came to pass in the evening that he, her father, took Leah and brought her to Jacob, and he went in unto her. And so she's yielding to authority. It's her father. He is her authority. He's doing what he told her to do. And she knew the custom there as well. And she knew that Jacob loved Rachel. Don't you think that Jacob and Rachel probably were making some googly eyes at each other over those 7 years and just the relationship there? And now she's married to him, and she knows that he doesn't love me. I don't think my dad loves me. I don't think anybody loves me. I'm just unwanted. I can't do anything. And she's feeling so depressed, but she has yielded to her father. Well, she also yields to Jacob. She submitted herself to him. If you go over a couple of chapters to 33, after they eventually leave to go back to Jacob's land, to his hometown, there, he's getting everybody together. And remember, Esau's still around. He left because he thought Esau was out to kill him. And so now he's getting ready to go back. And in chapter 33, verses 1 and 2, "Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. He divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids. He put the handmaids and their children foremost in the front, and then Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost." So he takes Rachel that he loves and the children there, and he puts them all away at the back. If anybody's going to be killed of my wives, I'm going to make sure it's Leah. you know. And so here he is kind of planning this thing out as well. And she probably, no doubt, knows what he's doing as well. But she is submitting to Jacob, even as the Bible says in 1 Peter concerning Sarah. It says, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And that's not socially correct today or politically correct today in America's standards there, but that was biblical to submit to the father. It was biblical to submit to the husband. And here's Leah. Oh, she's not outwardly beautiful, but notice the character, the submission there that she has. Notice how she praises God, even when she feels like she's all alone and uncared for and unwanted by anyone. And we see that she also was spiritual with her attitudes and her actions. And there have been some circumstances in her life and some relationships in her life and that were not pleasant. And you've heard it said before, no doubt. If not, it certainly is truthful that circumstances and relationships will either make you better or they will make you bitter. And Leah, from human reasoning, had every reason in the world to be bitter, didn't she? I mean, she just, everything seemed to be going the way of her favored sister there. But she shows her spiritual character in the naming of her children. Look at the names of her children. First of all, in chapter 29, verse 31, she names her children. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, the Lord saw. He opened her womb, and Rachel was barren, and Leah conceived and bare a son. She called his name Reuben, for she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. God saw, and she recognized that God is seeing everything that's going on. He's not approving of the deceit and the idolatry of Laban. He's not approving of the deceit of Jacob there, but he sees it. Remember when the Israelites were enslaved to the Egyptians and their taskmasters made things very hard on them? The Bible says in Exodus chapter 3 that God saw the affliction of the Israelites, and God sees the affliction that Leah is going through. And he takes note of that. And Leah is not becoming bitter. She is honoring God. She knows that God sees. She's leaving it in God's hands. Well, then she has another child in verse 33. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he therefore given me this son also, and she called his name Simeon. So she said, not only has the Lord seen how I've been treated, but the Lord has heard my prayers. Remember Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. He prayed and asked for a son. And in Luke chapter 1, it was said to Zacharias, thy prayer is heard. And Elizabeth gave birth. And here is Leah. She knows that God hears. And she knows that God cares. We sang a while ago, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. Maybe her father didn't care. Maybe her husband didn't care. But she knew God cared. She knew God saw her affliction. She knew God heard her prayers. And then she has a third child in chapter 29 and verse 34. She conceived again and bare son and said, now this time will my husband be joined to me because I've borne him three sons. Therefore, his name was called Levi. And you remember the Levites, these are the priests. And the purpose of the priest was to join God and man. And that's what the name means. And so the Bible says that we are New Testament priest there as well. And so we don't need a human priest to go before and join us to God. Jesus is our high priest, and he is the one who joins us to God. He's the only one that can unite man and God, and Jesus does that for us. Well, she has a fourth child in the last verse of chapter 29, She conceived again and bare a son and said, "Now will I praise the Lord." Therefore, she called his name Judah, and she left bearing. So she had four children, and the fourth one she named Judah, which means to celebrate. Praise the Lord, she said. Here she is, miserable from the world standards, hated, rejected, feeling unloved and uncared for, and yet she's praising the Lord. And remember the tribe of Judah? It was the tribe of Judah from which Jesus came. It says Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And what a celebration that is when Christ comes through the tribe of Judah, not through Rachel, the well-favored one, but Jesus came through Leah and Judah there. Well, there are four sons that Leah has given to Jacob now. And so Rachel is watching all of this, and she's barren. And now Leah's getting all the attention, and all her sons are getting the attention. And so Rachel says to Jacob, "Here's my handmaid," and so gives the handmaid to Jacob. And now she starts having children through her handmaid. And then we see, go over to chapter 30. There's still two more sons from Leah. And chapter 30, verse 17. Let me back up to verse 16. Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him. And he said, "Thou must come into me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes." And he lay with her that night. And God hearkened unto Leah. Remember, she knew that God hears. And she conceived. And she bare Jacob a fifth son. And Leah said, "God hath given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband," and she called his name Issachar. When it says "my hire," that's a word that means reward. Whenever a person is hired, they earn and or receive wages, or they receive their reward. And so here is Leah. She is viewing God as rewarding her. She doesn't sit back in pity and say, "God, why are you doing all this to me?" She's not blaming God and accusing God of mistreating her, but she is saying, "Praise the Lord," there with Judah. And now God has rewarded me. And our attitude can really affect everything about us, can't we? And here is Leah. Even though the circumstances and the relationships around her were not so good, but it did not affect her spiritual character there. She knew that she served a God who saw all of that. She served a God who would hear her when she prayed, and she praised the Lord and desired to be joined, as the name Levi means, to her husband there, and considered that God was blessing her, giving her these sons, and now God gave her her sixth son, and that's in verse 19 there. And Leah conceived again and bare Jacob, the sixth son. And Leah said, "God hath endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him six sons." And she called his name "Dwell with Me." Well, she called him Zebulun, which means "dwell with me," or habitation, or dwelling. And so through all of this, Leah, she's never given up hope. She says, "Now he's going to love me. He's going to dwell with me. I'm going to be his favored because I've given him these six sons." And then she continues to praise the Lord, and Rachel dies. Look over to chapter 35, the well-favored one, the beautiful one, and Genesis chapter 35, beginning at verse 16. They journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. It came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said to her, "Fear not, thou shalt have this son also." And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, and she called her son's name Benoni. His father called him Benjamin, but Rachel called him Benoni. And that word means son of sorrow. Here she was, beautiful, well-favored, and Jacob loved her. And her son dies, and she is in mourning and considers such a sorrowful life there in her death there. But not Leah. She's rejoicing in the children that God has given her. She is looking at the bright side. She sees the silver lining around the cloud, as we say there. So Rachel dies in childbirth, and Leah now becomes first with Jacob. God, in his own timing, in his own way, is putting her in the place where he wants her. And she never got ahead of God's schedule. She never got bitter about what God was doing. And the message of Leah, she submitted to her father, she submitted to her husband, she was spiritual in her attitude and actions, demonstrated in the way she named her children, and lastly, she was steadfast in her death, or faithful is the word. Go all the way to Genesis chapter 49 as we come to the end, and we'll jump ahead a little bit and we'll fill in all the gaps as we continue our study through Genesis. Genesis chapter 49, beginning at verse 29. And he charged them, Jacob, and said to them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my father in the cave that's in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah. Remember, several weeks ago we were studying that, and Abraham was a pilgrim. He was a sojourner. He didn't have any land. And so when it came time for Sarah to die, he didn't have a place to bury her. And there was one who was willing to give him the land, but he didn't want to do that. He said, no, I'm going to pay for it. So he buys this cave called Machpelah. And now Joseph says, in the cave of the field of Machpelah, in verse 30, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite for possession of a burying place, and there they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife. And there they buried Isaac and Rebekah, his wife, and there I buried Leah. Not Rachel, but he buried Leah. And so the thing that Leah wanted, to be first there and to be united and to be loved, God did it there, here in the cave of Machpelah there. And the striking beauty of Rachel just turned to dust. But the beauty, inward beauty, of Leah and her faithfulness continues to live on. Rachel died in sorrow, naming her child Benoni. But the faithfulness of Leah lives on today there. Proverbs 31 says, see if I can get it right, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Rachel had the favor and the beauty, but Leah received the praise from God. That's what we desire, for God to commend us for faithfulness to Him. It's not dependent upon any of the outward appearance or the circumstances or relationship, but it's dependent upon our commitment and faithfulness to God, that He sees, He hears, and He'll take care of it all if we follow Him faithfully. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your faithfulness to us and for the lessons we can learn. Thank You for the way You guided and helped Leah. What an encouragement Leah is to us. Thousands of years later, we thank You for her commitment to You. Help us to have that same resolve in our hearts and mind, so that the circumstances and relationships and things that we endure will never make us bitter, but will make us better equipped to praise You as Leah did. In Christ's name, amen.